call Thomason's Wealth Briefing for
Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, and I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome. Kia ora tātou. It's the middle of winter. We've had the Matariki holiday, and people are looking about making sure they're maximising their opportunities to stay warm. I think from just conversations I'm having around the place, it's a cold snap, and it's not that easy to deal with. So today's program was going to be following up on Matariki, and I was going to be talking with Maxine Stilling, who's the tenancy manager at Homaru Housing. And Maxine manages not only the social housing that is part of the Homaru Housing spread across Auckland, there's courts that you may be aware of in your neighbourhood, but they also have some properties now coming up for rental that will be for rental for people who are not in the, on the social housing list. And these will be about half the market rents. So they won't be at the social housing level, but they will be a lot cheaper than what you would pay a private landlord. And she was going to talk about this new offering that they have and how you go about applying and so on. But she's going to come in, and she will be able to do this within 3 weeks. So if you're interested in this, stay tuned with us, and we'll have Maxine on board for you. Now, at the Treasuring Our Seniors event, which was on the 15th of June out west at the Trusts Arena, there were over 100 volunteers, there were more than 50 stalls, and there were a myriad of groups with performers providing music and drumming and all sorts of entertainment. And there was the largest collection of police in the community I've seen for many moons. They were engaging in all different ways on stalls, helping with people who needed assistance with St. John and the ambulance crew. And they were really approachable, so it meant that people could check anything out with them. And also there were people there from the Law Centre, Community Law, and they were really useful because there were seniors visiting the site who had work problems, employment issues. There were all sorts of problems came up, and including disputes with electricity companies and so on. So the utilities store was really fascinating. So we have a contact there, and we have someone who's going to come in and talk about if you have a dispute over your gas or your power bill or any other issue, broadband installation, you can have it sorted out. You can actually follow through a process of registering whatever your concerns are, and you can be properly heard and supported through the process. So it's really great to understand what you need, how you collect the information, how you present it, and so on. So that contact that we have there is going to come on air again within the next 6 weeks. We're going to be very busy, in fact, following up on a number of the connections we made with the various stalls. At this point in time, I think with school holidays coming up, it's really good to think about your role as a grandparent, if you are a grandparent, or if you are a person who has warm, friendly relationships with your nieces and nephews or their children. And you may wonder why I'm talking about this, but a lot of people sometimes end up with a visit during the holidays of children that they have some sort of caring relationship with, and that relationship may turn into a longer term one. May happen through the holiday period where they don't go back home for varying reasons. And if this happens, you need to be aware that there is an organisation, Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, that organisation is a trust, and they are able to help you with support, information, advice and advocacy services. And they also provide caregiver education. Quite often, handling kids these days is a different ballgame from when you were bringing up your own children, and there are different ways in which kids express themselves or different expectations they have, and sort of finding how to handle them and how to intervene if there's conflict, it can be tricky. So I'm just wanting you to know that you can call 0800-GRANDS or you can visit www.grg.nz. So you can go to their website or you can make a call that's free on the 0800 number, and it's just GRANDS on your phone. So they offer legal advocacy. They offer financial support and guidance. They have peer support groups, so you can meet other people who've got the similar challenges. They have a national helpline, which is that 0800 number I've given you. And they run workshops in Wānanga, practical sessions on how to deal with trauma, how to care for kids who've been traumatized, parenting strategies, self-care for yourself as a carer, and how to manage relationships between children, because sometimes you actually don't just have one, you have two or three that you are needing to care for at the same time. They have all the latest news and resources, and what sort of support financially you're entitled to. I didn't realise that if you're looking after an orphan, you can get up to $2,000 per child per year to cover things like birthday presents, outings in the holidays, and those sorts of things. So there are a variety of types of financial support, and so it's very important that you get somebody who's really knowledgeable about what you're entitled to, rather than just bowling up to WINS yourself and finding that you don't know the system, and the system isn't very good at telling you what you're entitled to. So I think that this organisation is well worthwhile checking out. And we usually interview somebody from there each year. And last year we had the new chief executive, and that was very exciting. But this year I think it would be really good to have someone who's actually doing advocacy on the ground and hear some live stories about the difference that they've made for people, which will empower you and make you feel more inclined to check them out if you have the need. And I also note that their support groups operate further afield, as far north as Whangarei and in Hauraki and so on. So they're looking after people in more rural settings or smaller towns and cities as much as they're in Auckland. So that may be useful to your friends and relations who you may be helping because they're asking you for advice. I never underestimate how far our networks go and how many people we can help just by what our listeners share with others. And that's why we do this. You know, we're very dedicated to finding out the latest and to making sure that we get accurate information out there to as many people as possible. We also welcome people's questions, and if you want to communicate with us, do email us, seniorfocus104.6fm@gmail.com. So I'll repeat that again. It's all lowercase, no capitals, no dots in between. So seniorfocus, so that's seniorfocus, 104.6fm@gmail.com. And we do reply to your emails and take up matters. And if you wish to call us, or you wish a phone call back, just put your number in the email and then we can call you, and it doesn't cost you anything, and you don't have to have cell phone charges. Now, looking ahead, I've indicated a few of the people who will be coming in over the next 4 to 6 weeks. We are also wanting to have some people back that we've had before. We want to follow up with Tracy Martin as to what's happening in the aged care sector since her visit to Australia. We looked at what she found out, but she's gone back again and she's into more things. So we want to have a further conversation. I also noted that at the weekend that Carolyn Cooper, who has been our first aged care commissioner, and remember I've talked in the past about how Grey Power lobbied for almost 10 years to get an aged care commissioner. They're currently lobbying in the UK for such a position. We've actually done it, although Australia was ahead of us. But Carolyn has made a real success of her role. She's done a brilliant job in her first large-scale report that she did assessing the state of aged care in New Zealand and what were the essential pinch points in the areas that needed very close attention very soon. And she focused on hearing, because early detection of hearing can actually reduce or prevent the onset of dementia. And that wasn't well known, and that is evidence-based research that's quite sound and has been behind her call for government to provide more subsidies for hearing aids and more assistance around assessment. So she's moving on, possibly to another health role, and she has wide experience, and so it's great that we're not losing her. But on the other hand, it leaves a bit of a gap at a critical time. We are aware from Tracy's advocacy, Tracy Martin being a former Minister for Seniors, we're aware of the thoroughness and the evidence that she's amassed about what we're facing over the next 10 years with the shortage of care beds and the shortage of skilled workers in the field. And the shortage of GPs, who are specialists in gerontology, in the science of ageing and ageing well. And so there's a number of gaps there that government hasn't picked up the ball yet on. And this is concerning, because there was nothing in the budget. There's nothing put aside over the next 10 years. And as New Zealand is not looking rosy on the world stage from many points of view, if you take infrastructure, we're bottom of the list of the OECD for our provision and our prevention and our maintenance and quality in this whole area of infrastructure. And it's a critical area because of climate change and all the ramifications that's causing so many disasters around the world. And I mean, to wait for something to happen is not the time to really look into your infrastructure. You really need to be ahead of the game. So it's the same in aged care. We lack the social infrastructure. We lack the information channels that people can access information clearly. We know 27% of people are not online in the 60 plus age group. We also know that there's a lot of siloization goes on in health, and for that reason we're not getting enough information about what makes a difference, how strong the evidence is about being socially connected. So people living alone, people living without support, people who don't know their neighbours, perhaps have to wait weeks, if not a month or two, to see a GP, and it's quite bad in some of the rural areas, so that many health problems are increasing in their severity because of the level of anxiety that people are experiencing, and that can be lowered quite rapidly if people get well connected. It's just the human need to be in contact makes a huge difference to how people see their world and how they experience things and what sort of energy they have to make changes that they might need to make for their own health and well-being. So on this program, we not only bring sometimes attention to the bad news, but we also try to inspire people, because we try to bring stories about how people have tackled things. It's very interesting how people can be on a particular cocktail of meds. Their medication just chugs on, the scripts roll on, and it isn't necessarily altered. They don't have conversations about what the side effects are. And they may be experiencing these, but they don't have that conversation with their GP. So our position on this is not to say people shouldn't be on medication. Our position is not to turn people off medication, but it's to actually say, look, this sufficient evidence out there that many older people are being over-medicated, and there isn't a need for people to have assessments or to be checked out, to be looking at their vital signs, and are they in fact improving, and what is actually necessary. I actually queried one medication recently with a cardiologist, and he said to me, well, less is more. We found there's very strong evidence that you can be on a much lower dose these days and you can have very similar outcomes. So we don't need to be giving people these gigantic bombs to take twice a day when they can take something that's quite tiny once a day. And if you don't have the conversation, if you don't speak up, then you don't always get these things altered. It's a proactive game, and it's something you have to take steps to ensure that you're receiving something that's beneficial to you. And after all, it's your body. So you can't be just floating along without questioning things. I think it's very important, because the world's changing so rapidly, because we are getting a lot more information that's shared in health across databases across the world. We actually know a lot more about the range of people's responses to medication. And while most people are fine on most things, not everybody is going to be suited by exactly what suits others. So there has to be some assessment, some ongoing follow-up. There has to be tests done. And so it's an important process that you have a regular GP. And what astounds me is the number of people who talk to me about their conditions, and they may be on four or five different meds, but they actually don't see the same person. They actually see a locum almost every time when they actually check in or get a script. And these people don't know them. So there's no continuity. You can't convince me that somebody can read the file on a patient when they've only got a 15-minute consultation. They can do a quick and dirty, but they can't actually go in depth. And so this is why it's really valuable if you have a relationship with a GP, a regular one that you see and that knows you, so much more can be achieved. And primary health care is the front line, and it's the most important service in health, and it's not actually well enough funded. So any questions you have, anything you need to check out, just make a list and take it with you, because it's very important that you that not only that you're proactive, but that you actually prepare yourself. And most of us think about things and we think, I must ask about that. And then we go, and then we're coming home and we think, oh, I never said about such and such. So it's not difficult to buy a cheap notebook at the supermarket and just note the things down. It doesn't have, and then the piece of paper doesn't get lost. You just carry the notebook with you. And by the way, it's also useful if you transfer information from your phone numbers of key people and key agencies that you communicate with, and put those into the notebook. So if you're involved with any kind of disaster and you lose the phone, or the carriage is flooded and your phone's in the car, these sorts of things happen to people during the floods in 2023, that they lost all their contacts, all their data and everything. I just say to people, the old-fashioned system of just having a notebook with numbers in it, there's nothing like it. It's absolutely foolproof as long as you know where it is. Mm. Okay, so with all that advice, we often think, oh, we don't need to hear that, we know that. But there needs to be more preparation and care put into how we care for ourselves and how we prepare ourselves, because the world is changing, because disasters happen with very little warning. And if you've taken those small steps, you're 50% ahead of most people, and you've got more chance of coming through a situation in better shape. So we really encourage you to do that. So this week I've had a very engaging experience I wanted to share with your listeners, simply because I've talked about well-being and how important it is to extend yourself, to connect with others socially. And sometimes we have to do that through new means. No, we lose friends as we age, and our circle can diminish. And so to build up those connections is very important. And two of the ways that I've suggested in past programs you can look into would be through gardening or through music, because both of those are strongly research-based evidence collected situations, where the gardening not only has physical benefits, I mean, even the microbes in the soil can help your immune system. But it's not just the physical changes that happen through doing the exercise of gardening, but it's the social involvement of people being part of a gardening group. Whether that's a garden club or whether that's a shared intensive gardening in a plot, which may be communal. So whether it's a situation where you just meet up with other people who garden and exchange information and seeds, there are different options and different things suit different people. But when it comes to music, I've been amazed to find that there are some wonderful groups operating across Auckland, depending on your musical interests and tastes. But there's an organ group that has concerts four times a year, and that group is based in Captain Springs Road in Onehunga. Now, I've mentioned the concerts once or twice, but I didn't really realise how extensive the group is and how many people visit other groups. There's a group on the shore that's a ukulele orchestra, and I had the good fortune to be able to go and enjoy that concert that they put on this week. And I mean, I just came out of there feeling on a high, and it was such a buzz. So I really do recommend that you think about getting through the winter through extending yourself into some activity that is artistic or cultural or socially going to stretch your connections, and you will be amazed at the well-being impact it will have. And we'll be talking to some people in these groups in our future programs. Thank you for listening, and we hope to have you with us again next Sunday.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.